Hey, and welcome to Maladjusted, the podcast. Been talking about the eight studio habits of art and introduced you with connecting with the art world and kind of doing a countdown. Here's seven instead of going one through eight, since they say they all overlap and there's not really an order. I'm dropping down from eight to seven. I want to talk a little bit about stretching and exploring. Probably the biggest thing about stretch and explore, and the most wonderful thing about art in a lot of ways, is it's okay to make mistakes. So a lot of teachers and buzzwords with things like growth mindset and that kind of thing in recent years have been talking a lot about how we don't let kids fail. You know, we've got this grading system that is probably 150 years old that, you know, if you don't do well, you've failed. And as if that's some kind of indictment on your moral character, when it's supposed to be a matrix of what you've retained or what you've gained during just this last unit. Well, here's an old joke. If at first you don't succeed, skydiving is not the sport for you. But you see, the thing about art is you don't really have those high stakes. It's okay to make a mistake and to mess up. I love Bob Ross is famous for happy accidents. We don't like this, we'll make it into a tree. There, it's a tree. Here, it's a bird. You know, a lot of art is inspiration and a lot of art is serendipity. You know, and accidents and mistakes and improvisation. And that's great. You don't necessarily have the safety to take risks in other ventures, whether you're talking about sports or drama or music. You know, you're at a big concert, everybody hears, everybody notices, you're embarrassed. Math, science, grammar, there's all kinds of places where you make mistakes and it's a mistake. Well, art, you make a mistake, you learn from it. Pick yourself up, maybe change it, or rearrange it. So that's the biggest thing about stretching is and exploring is it's learning, and it's okay. You're safe to learn. But I want to go over a couple of other things that I've thought of in terms of stretching specifically, and then in terms of exploring. Stretching, well, a lot of that is nothing ventured, nothing gained. Some of that is no pain, no gain. A lot of stretching is pushing the envelope. Here's what I wrote to kids on my website. You know, slow down. If you're going to develop your craft, which is another one of the studio habits of mind, you've got to stay engaged. Another studio habit of mind. You got to persist. Another studio habit of mind. If you're going to draw what you see, that takes observation. Truly, it's about seeing more than it is about drawing. And the thing of it is, observation takes time and patience. If you're going to execute your vision or express yourself effectively, you have to push yourself. So just like test pilots had to push the envelope until they broke the sound barrier, and if they hadn't, then we'd never have had a space program. It's like athletes have to push their limits of endurance, and if they're going to compete or break records, or even just their own personal records. Artists need to constantly be finding ways to challenge themselves. Maybe it's a new subject, maybe it's a new composition, maybe it's a new media, or it's doing what you have, doing what you're doing with what you have right where you are, but not giving up so quick. One of the biggest issues that art teachers will have with kids is they'll come to you and say, I'm done. And you'll say, yeah, but the whole rest of the class isn't done yet. We're taking 4 days to do this, and this is the first day, and this is the first 20 minutes of class, and you're telling me that you're done now? And students will get defensive, and they'll say, well, I think it's good. You can't tell me it's not good. It's my art. Art is supposed to be whatever you want it to be, right? And I'm done. You know, I don't know why. You know, I'm not making them run the mile. I'm not making them read War and Peace. I'm not having them write a 2,000-word essay. A lot of people think of art as supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be relaxing. It's supposed to be an escape from the more academic things. So why they want to quit so early, I don't know. Because they want to play on their phone, they want to play a computer game, they are feeling pressure because they've got homework that they didn't do at home for another class, they want to horse around. So we as art teachers really need to try and encourage students to stay engaged. It's awesome to be engaged. That is probably the biggest hump, is to take work seriously and to really start. But once you've started, don't stop. Don't be done because your attention span is that short. Work on stretching your attention span. So I have some questions that I want students to ask themselves. You know, is there anything you can add? Is there anything you can fix or change? Is there anything that you can improve? You know, what do you guess, or what do you think the art teacher might suggest to you? What could you guess or imagine that maybe your classmates would suggest to you? What were the goals or the objectives of the assignment? Are you sure that you've met those yet? Does it really look and feel balanced? Does it really look and feel completed? You know, are there shortcomings that you had in your last assignment? Did you overcome those? You know, how can you push yourself? Other thing I'll tell them is, okay, so if you are done, now what? I would really like for you to try this again and maybe do it a different way. Or you can do some free art, but what are you going to do? And how long is that going to keep you engaged? Maybe does it focus on the goals and objectives that we're studying this unit? Here's the other thing about stretching, is also exploring. It is absolutely wonderful to explore. And again, this is where art gives you that chance. You know, you're not in space and you're going to run out of oxygen or need to return to Houston Control within a few days or you'll die. You're not in the jungle and you're going to get bit by venomous insects or snakes or eaten by a prehistoric lizard that has gone undiscovered for centuries. Now, you're not going to freeze to death or burn to death. Now, this is just a classroom. It's just a piece of paper. So what can you do? How can you explore? And sometimes it can be messy. You're responsible for cleaning up your mess. But sometimes it doesn't have to be messy. How can you actually keep working and push yourself in a way that maybe is not so strenuous, except maybe for being boring or tedious? You know, how can you calm yourself down and try to be patient and relax and be nuanced or be gentle with the pencil or the paper or the crayon or whatever it is you're using? Essentially, the studio habit means to try new things. So maybe it means working in a new medium. Maybe it means working with a different subject matter. But however you think about it, it's moving outside of your comfort zone. It can mean letting go of the rules and expectations and just trying to have fun. It can mean working without a plan, just making stuff up as you go along, going on automatic. Or it could mean, what are the structure? What are the rules? What are the goals? And if I usually play fast and loose with those or ignore them or don't care about them, what if I did work on them? What if I did kind of restrain myself or tinker with them, change them? It's always a great idea anytime that you start something new to just explore, to just play and experiment, see what you can do and not worry about how it's going to turn out. Don't be afraid of messing up. I know a lot of art teachers, myself included, if we're introducing a new medium, say we're doing pastel chalk or we're doing charcoal or we're doing oil pastel or we've been working with watercolor or tempera paint and now we're going to try some acrylic, we usually have a day or an assignment or so where go ahead and doodle. Go ahead and mess around before we give you the restraints or the directions and instructions where you have something that is a little bit more directed. A couple of schools of art that were great at this, the Dadaists of the early 20th century and the Surrealists of, they stretched all the way from the 20s to the 70s, and there's still people that are working in Surrealism now. One thing they engaged in is a thing called automatism. It's basically like serendipitous improvisational, like comedic improv or jazz improv, where whatever comes to your mind, that's what you're doing. Call it free flow of consciousness if you want to. Another thing that they would like to try is they'd scavenge around for things, found objects, stuff in the trash, in the garage, in the attic, in the basement, at a thrift shop or a flea market or whatever. And what do these things suggest to you? Maybe they're two-dimensional thing, make collage out of pictures from magazines. Maybe it's what's called frottage, where you are taking rubbings. You've got chalk or crayon and paper, and you rub a brick, or you rub a tree bark, or you rub a headstone in a cemetery or something, and then you cut out shapes of those and put them together. What do you think you can make? Or found objects, like junk sculpture. So another thing is try different media. If you're used to using a ballpoint pen, try using a rollerball pen. If you're used to using felt tip pen, try using a ballpoint pen. If you're used to using a mechanical pencil, try using a number two pencil. Go as soft as you can or as hard as you can. The H2, H3, or B4, B6. Or even charcoal. Don't look down on crayons and markers like they're little kid things. How serious and how awesome can you make stuff with something as simple as a crayon or a marker? Crayola markers are wonderful because you take a watercolor brush and some clear water, and a lot of pens are this way too. Put some water over where you've drawn, and your drawing suddenly becomes a painting, almost like a wash. Right now, it's a perfect time to do this during this corona vacation, this COVID-19 school closure. I am going to send out to Google Classroom a bunch of links to different free web-based apps so that you don't have to spend the money that you would on Photoshop or Adobe Illustrator or InDesign. And a few of these are games that I looked for, and a few of them are games that I found kids playing with. And they would say, hey, it's art. And I would like, okay, yeah, I guess you're right. You are. It's an art thing and not just any old video game. So maybe that is something you can use in downtime in the art classroom. I'll include a link on that. Either on my blog or maybe here on Anchor, where this is posted. And I hope that you will do some exploring. Do some stretching and exploring in the next week. And whatever you do, keep an art mindset. Take care. Wash your hands.